Okay, Shalom Avracha, friends. I just want to check that you can hear me. If Ami could give me a thumbs up. You hear me well? Thanks, Ami. Okay. First of all, I just want to welcome Rav Moshe Shimon from Chicago. Thanks for tuning in. And Rav Gary, it's always a privilege to learn with you. All the chevra that are joining us, it means so much to me that you would take from your precious time to be able to sit together with me virtually and to dive into the world of the tzaddikim. What a privilege, what a schus to be able to learn these holy teachings together. I don't take it lightly. I really do appreciate that you're sitting and learning with me. It means a lot to me. And Be'ezer Hashem, I'm looking very, very much forward to diving in. Be'ezer Hashem, to these deep waters of the tzaddikim that we're going to be learning from today. This week's shir is sponsored anonymously in the schus for Am Yisrael as a schus for the whole Jewish nation. Eretz Hashem, I think we could extend that to an invitation to everybody to come to Eretz Yisrael and to join us here so we don't have to be virtual. We could be sitting around this table. We miss you, all the chevra that were here that are stuck now in America. We miss you very much and we're yearning for you to come back. Let it be soon. Let it be today, Be'ezer Hashem. And if anybody is interested in sponsoring future shiurim, please reach out to lpitorah@gmail.com. We're always looking for sponsors, and it's a big schus to be able to facilitate the learning of the inner light of Torah from the tzaddikim, the Hasidic masters. I don't need to tell you what a schus that is. So if you would be so kind as to partner with us and to join us, it's the biggest thing in the world. Be'ezer Hashem, we appreciate it very much. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen so we can see the notes together. Let me try to take care of this. Let's try to do it. Okay, you guys see the notes? Yeah? Can you guys see the notes? Okay, great. Okay, so Be'ezer Hashem, with Hashem's help, we're going to dive right into the shir on Parshas Korach. In Eretz Yisrael, it's already Parshas Chukas. In America, it's Parshas Korach this week. And so we begin with an unbelievable teaching from the Tiferet Shlomo, from the Holy Radomsker, in this week's Parsha. Just for a little bit of background, right in the beginning of this week's parsha, aptly named Parshas Korach, this figure Korach, who there's so much discussion about. Some of the Hasidic masters used to call him Fetter Korach. They used to talk about how he had a holy spark within him, Uncle Korach. And the Ishbitzer describes, and the Baal Shem Tov even said, that there was something holy in Korach, ultimately that was taken captive by the negative forces that sort of drew him astray, even though it was ultimately rooted in a holy desire to be able to lead the Jewish nation, but it was expressed improperly at the wrong time in a wrong way of azus and a way of arrogance and in a way of stubbornness to stand up and to try to take a position that wasn't his at all. But Korach was an Ish Gadol, as we're going to see, was actually one of the carriers of the Aron. He was part of the Levium, was actually in that camp that would carry the Aron, the holiest of holy, that went in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that held the Luchas, the Shivri Luchas, the place from which prophecy issued forth from between the Kruvim. This was Korach, and Korach stands up and he begins to basically stage like a coup against Moshe and Aaron to say that you took the leadership in an improper way, that really I want to go ahead and to lead the Jewish nation, and your leadership is contrived, you guys came up with it on your own, that you are ra'oi, that you are fitting to lead, and really I want to assume this position. There's so much explanation in the Sfarim of the Tzaddikim, what exactly was his machlokis, especially when you look at the Midrashim, that he showed them a talis that was full of tcheles, right, that the whole talis was made out of tcheles, and he said, why should this be a puzzle talis, if one string of tcheles is good to have in a talis, so certainly the whole talis full of tcheles. What's the depth in that? And in the years to come, we should be zocha to explore all the various teachings from all the tzaddikim together. And again, I bless us all that we should sit in person, not just have to communicate in this remote way that's always very awkward for me and very not my comfort zone. But in the Hashem, we should be zocha to sit together in person and to learn the words of the tzaddikim together. It says the Hilgur Adamsker, an unbelievable thing. Right after Korach stands up and begins this coup, and he says, like we'll learn from the Mea Shiloach in the next piece, Madua tesnas al am Hashem, who gave you the right to stand up arrogantly? This is what he accuses Moshe of. You understand? We're going to see the depth of that. But who gave you the right to stand up and to take something that wasn't yours? Madua tesnas al am Hashem, why do you lift yourself up? Why do you assume a leadership position? Who gave you the right? And he challenges Moshe's leadership. What's Moshe's reaction? The psukim right in the beginning of the parasha say that Moshe fell on his face. Vayishma Moshe. Moshe heard what was happening. Moshe heard this challenge. Moshe saw that Korach is coming with Dasam and Aviram and the Zekanim and they're bringing up Ketores and they're trying to go ahead and to assume the leadership and to knock out Moshe and Aaron that were obviously sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much against their will, against Moshe's will, against Aaron's will, to go and lead the Jewish nation out of Mitzrayim, the land of constriction, to a land of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Toiva Urechava, the land that's wide, the land that's full of all kind of wideness and openness and harchava and expansivity. And Moshe and Aaron can't believe what they're hearing, this challenge. After the Meraglim, after all the complaining, after all of the different difficulties that they dealt with in the Midbar, here comes another challenge against our leadership, that Moshe has been protecting the Jewish nation after the Chet HaEgel, after the Meraglim, time and time again. And here comes a challenge to his leadership. We read in the Pasuk that Moshe listens and hears, Vayipal Apanam, and he falls on his face. What's the sod of Moshe falling on his face? What does this mean? Why is this Moshe's reaction? So the various Mefarshim on the Torah offer various explanations for why Moshe fell on his face at this point. Rashi tells us that Moshe Pasha gave up. And this seems to be the most simple reading of the Pesukim. Moshe hears and he can't handle it anymore. He falls on his face, and falling on a person's face, obviously to prostrate oneself on the ground is a symbol of hopelessness, is a symbol of letting go. Rashi says, Nisrash lu yadav. He realized he has no koach anymore to handle this. He cannot go ahead and continue to lead this rebellious nation. He's finished. He's out. He taps out. Moshe's on the ground and he refuses to carry on. That's what Rashi tells us. The Ibn Ezra tells us that Moshe was trying to tap into a spirit of nevuah, because we find by the Nevi'im that the Nevi'im would get a nevuah when they were laid out on the floor in a tardema, in a state of trembling, in a state of bittul, in a state of nullification to the Ein Sof, to that infinite being that was transmitting to them a message. Moshe was trying to tap in, so to speak, to that heavenly channel to find out, what am I to do? What am I supposed to do here? That's the Ibn Ezra. Finally, the Chizkuni says that Moshe was davening. This was Moshe going ahead and davening to be able, which is similar to Nevuah, right, on Moshe's level, but Moshe was trying to communicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through verbal words, through tefillah, and he wanted to go ahead and to create for himself a little bit of a private place to escape from the challenge in the physical world and to go ahead and to sort of nullify himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to enter into that state of communication of tefillah. Okay, different interpretations for what was happening here, but says the Tiferes Shlomo, something so deep that's just unbelievable. Mamash unbelievable. And this piece is an introduction for the Mea Shiloh that we're going to see. With Hashem's help, the Siyata Deshmayin, and the Schus of all of you that are sitting and learning with me, and in the Schus of the Tzadikim. Says the Holy Tiferes Shlomo inside, Vayishma Moshe v'yipal apanav, Moshe heard and he fell on his face. Hanir li bazeh, says the Tiferes Shlomo, it appears to me that the following is what was happening, what was taking place, what was Moshe trying to accomplish. Al pi ayadua misvarim akdoshim, it's known from the holy works of the Mikubalim. Inyan nefilas apayim. I don't have time to get into the depth of it now, but just on the surface. The inyan of nefilas apayim during shachris and mincha, when we go ahead and we fall on our face, right? A person goes ahead on a table, and by shachris we're falling on our right arm, by mincha we're falling on our left arm. And we're covering our face and we're saying, tachnun, what's the sod of covering our face? You ever think about it? Why are we falling on our face? What does that represent? What are we trying to symbolize? What are we trying to say, to express? Says the Arizal, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, that the inyan of nefilas apayim is the inyan of mesiras nefesh. Now, mesiras nefesh, the way that we colloquially use it, the way that we use it in speaking to other people, oh wow, a person really went out of his way to help somebody, was moiser nefesh, right? Or a person, you know, woke up so early in the morning that he should make birchas hachama, whatever it was, at the right time, whatever it was, birchas hachama, I don't know why I said that. He woke up asikin, let's say, on a regular Shabbos, and he was moiser nefesh. Okay, that's the way that we use it. But if you think of the actual words, nefesh is the living spirit that each and every Jew carries within. Mesira means to give over, to give up, to surrender. Mesiras nefesh is not just the way that we use it. It was difficult. He sacrificed something, right? For something holy. But the way that it's being used here is not just mesiras nefesh in that way. It's literal sacrifice. Mamish sacrifice. Yitzchak HaNakeda sacrifice. The Arizal says that when a Jew goes ahead and says Tachnun and he puts his head on his arm and he puts his head down, literally a Jew should be mechaven at this time, should have in mind that I'm giving myself up al kiddush Hashem, mamish. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die, mamish. I'm ready to be subsumed into my infinite source. I'm nullifying myself kol v'chol, absolutely, mamish. To the point that, without getting into the depth of it, that Arizal has a different... If anybody saw in the Siddur Arizal, right, or even I think in the Chabadskers will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in Nusach Ari that the Chabadskers are also saying. But certainly, if you see in the Sefer in the Siddurim of Matok Midvash and the other Kabbalistic Siddurim, that Arizal has a different version of Nefilas Apayim, which is actually a tefillah that comes from that Arizal himself. We aren't a Nefilas Apayim as a Perek and Tehillim, but that Arizal has a whole different composition that actually mentions psukim like this, to give up our lives. And there's a question in Halacha whether a person who's saying that Arizal's version should actually put his hand down, because it his head down on his hand, because it might be a sakana, mamish, sakanas nefashis, it might be too much. There's a discussion in Halacha if a person's going to be mechavin to give his life up, and he's going to do the physical motion of putting his head down to give himself up, to be ready to leave this world, it might be mamash sakana, and proceed with caution. Ayin Sham in the Sefer Pesketshuvas on the Alachas of Nefilas Apayim, where he goes through the whole entire sugya and he brings down many varied opinions with regard to this. But Al Kol Panim, we see that Arizal holds that Nefilas Apayim, this act of laying one's head down on one's arm, is the act of Mesiras Nefesh, not just sacrifice, but literally to give oneself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to leave the world. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Lachain Ata says the Tifer Shlomo, Be'is HaMachloikis, at this time that Korach comes with this challenge and Moshe's leadership. Moshe was afraid. Listen to these words. It's unbelievable. Moshe was worried at that time because he had no negius, as we're going to learn. Moshe had no ulterior motive at all. Moshe was ayin, we're going to learn. What was Moshe worried about at that moment? What was Moshe afraid of? Moshe's first thought, not a third thought and a fourth thought, the first reaction by Yishma Moshe, he hears the challenge and Moshe says, uh-oh, I don't want these chever to be punished. I'm their leader. I'm their divinely ordained leader that was established by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that was appointed to this job by the Infinite One, by the Ein Sof. And it's my job to go ahead and protect even those that are challenging that very authority that gives me the ability to protect. This is Moshe's initial reaction. Moshe was afraid of that they shouldn't be punished, because they're going ahead and making a blemish, that they're going ahead and attacking and challenging his honor. Lachain says the holy Radamsker nafal apanav. Moshe falls on his hands on his face with the bechina of nefilas apayim, which is the bechina mesiras nefesh, to nullify himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lias v'mesiras nefesh, to say, Rabbanu Shalom, I don't really need to be here at all. I have no negius and ulterior motive of needing to be in this world. I don't want to be a separate identity. I want to be subsumed within your infinite light. I don't want to have an ego. I don't want to have a separateness, a separate consciousness. I want to be buckled to you completely. To be in that moment comparable in his own eyes to being nothing, I am the Ephes. And he quotes a Gemara Menachas that says, Ki kala oimid lisra kisar of dami. There's a halacha with regard to tumah that certain things that need to be burned, for example, noiser, right? A carbon that wasn't eaten in its proper time, and it needs to be burned in its proper place. So the question is, can that food then contract tumah? And the Gemara in Menachas, at least according to one shita, says that there's an opinion that kala oimid lisroi, that anything that's going to be burned kisar of dami, it's like it's already burned, it's like it's already out of the world, and therefore it cannot contract tumah. So the Tiferes Shlomo wants to apply that same rule to Moshe Rabbeinu here, that by offering himself up to be Moser Nefesh, kala oimid lisroi, is already kisar of dami. He already has the bechina, he already has the reality that he's tapping into to already be buckled, not to be in this world, that there's no Moshe anymore to fight with. There's no Moshe to challenge. There's no leader to go ahead and to blemish his honor. Moshe doesn't exist. Also, you see a similar idea, a fascinating concept. There's many, many different Ramaz into this in different Gemaras, but if you look at the Gemara in Tainus, that talks about a certain stage in the fast, that if the rain still hadn't fallen at a certain point, so they would take ashes and they would put it on the head of the leader, right? Anybody who learned Tainus remembers this Gemara toward the end, I think, of the third parak, that says, or maybe in the second parak, I'm not remembering right now, but Al-Kapanim, the Gemara says that we take the ashes, we put it on the head of the leader. Why? Says the Gemara, because these ashes are going to go ahead and to bring about a remembrance before the Kisei HaKavod of what? Of Afro Shel Yitzchak, of Yitzchak's ashes. And let me ask you a question. Yitzchak was ever reduced to ashes? Never happened. But because Yitzchak went ahead on the Mizbeach and he gave himself up and he told Avram Avinu, I'm coming with you, his father. He said, we're going together. V'yechol Shneim Yachdav. Rashi says on that Pasuk that Yitzchak gave himself. He understood well what was happening. And Yitzchak was Meiser Nefesh. Kala Oymid Lisrev. It's Kesarif Dami. So therefore, the Gemara is able to make a reference to something called Afresh Shel Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak, which never happened. There was no ashes of Yitzchak. But Kol Ha'omid Lisrev Kesar of Dami, and that's what the Tefarah Shlomo says over here by Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol Ha'omid Limsar Nafsho Kimisiras Nefesh Dami, Kimoisar Nafshe Dami. So already compared to someone who's not in this world. And through this, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go ahead and to prevent there from being a punishment on Korach. You imagine what level Moshe is? Unbelievable. This is the first thing he thinks. When somebody comes and he mamash challenges his whole being, not just his job. Somebody tried to take his job. This is all Moshe is. Moshe Eved Elokim. Moshe is an Eved Hashem. Moshe, so to speak, only functions through this task that he has. He's like a malach, right? Mamash, like an angel. All he is the shliach. That's what the essence of an angel is. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Someone comes to challenge his essence, and the first thing he thinks about is, what can I do to prevent this person from receiving the punishment that he really deserves, but that it's my obligation as leader of the Jewish nation to protect him from? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. L'zayis heiser mehem ha'oynish kol kach ha'sheyadua malas Moshe Rabbeinu sh'ya'onam mi'oyed min kal adam, because this was Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu was an anami oyed mikal adam. That this was his whole thing. That Moshe was completely, completely battled. He was nullified. He didn't have an ego. He was all the time doing the Ratzon Hashem, battled to that infinite source. I once heard from Shabizokha, to call him a Rebbe of mine, but I sat by him for many, many, many long hours to learn the Kutim Ran from Ratzvi Cheshen Shlita, from the Mir Yeshiva. And Ratzvi used to say that this pasuk, that Moshe was an anav mi'od mikol adam sha'al panei adama, that Moshe was the most humble man of all the men al panei adama on the earth, that's why Korach needed to fall into a pit. Because Korach needs to have midah keneged midah, that if he's trying to go ahead and challenge the person that's anav mi'od mikol adam sha'al panei adama, he's got to be lower than that. Right? So if Moshe's on the ground, the only place for Korach to go is below the ground. That Moshe needs to be below the Al-Panei Adama, that Moshe was already on the ground, so Korach needs to fall below the ground. The cute tire. But that's what we're talking about here. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the Anami Oyim Kal Adam Tamad Hoyi B'Mesiras Nefesh. Moshe was always in this state of Mesiras Nefesh, of Re Yisrael, to give himself, K'moshe Kasav, as is famously written, as we know, Mechemi Nami Sifruch, if you're not going to go ahead and to carry the sin of Klal Yisrael, Mecheinina Misifrach, says Moshe, wipe me out. Because my whole essence is only to go ahead and to stand up for Am Yisrael, to protect them. And if I'm not doing that job properly, I don't need to exist. Mecheinina, wipe me away, which is exactly what's happening here. The Chayim called Sadek Hadar, says the Heilige Tiferes Shlomo, every single righteous member, righteous leader of the generation, Ikar Avdus, the main service that he has as leader, B'Mesiras Nefesh Abwork Neses Yisrael, is to constantly give of himself for Am Yisrael. This is what it means to be a leader, Chevra. And guess what? Each and every member of the Jewish nation in our generation is a leader. Think about it. Rav Shlomo Kalbach used to say that what before the war used to be Rebbes and Talmidim and Hasidim is today regular Jews and all the unaffiliated Jews that we'll never even meet, of which there are commensurately that same number, so to speak, right? For every Rebbe that had thousands of Hasidim before the war, every firm Jew, so to speak, has thousands upon thousands of Jews who never don't even know that they're Jewish, they never heard of Shabbos, they don't know what's going on, and they're connected to our neshamas, and we are charged with both Aseh Lecha Rav, mamash, to make ourselves into a Rav, Uknei Lecha Chaver, and thereby to bring those friends. If they're only friends, who are we to be leaders? Who are we to be in positions of power? But because they're our friends, we're charged with going ahead and making ourselves a Selech HaRav. We have to make ourselves into a Rav, not just to have a Rav, but to make ourselves into leaders, to be able to protect them. What does it mean to be a leader, which every single member of our generation is a leader? If we only knew the power and the strength of our ability, if we only believed in it. every single person, we feel like the most talentless person, what can I offer? Every single Jew in this final generation is tasked with literally doing something so incredible that generations previous were not trusted with this tremendous job. The Baal Shem Tov was the holiest of the holy, but tachlis, he was not challenged with the challenges of our generation. He was not trusted with this unbelievable mission to go ahead and to take all the thousands of years of tradition that's being given to us with our right hand and thereby to pass it on to the next generation. And this is mamash our task. We have to assume leadership roles in our communities, with our friends, with our families. There's so many opportunities today to have an impact, and it's so important to ask ourselves every morning, what am I doing, not just for myself, what am I doing to impact others? Super important. So what does it mean to be a leader? Says the Tiferet Shlomo, this is what it means. Kol tzadik hadar, every righteous leader in the generation, ikur ha'avda shalom, the primary avoda, not secondary, not after he does tikkun chatzos and wakes up vasikin and fasts from Shabbos to Shabbos and learns Kala Tarakula every year, not after that, no, before that, the primary task is to stand up in front of the master of the world and to come up with strategies to protect the Jewish nation, to speak good about the Jewish nation. Like the holy Berditchever Tzaddik, who we're learning now his Torah with the Lost Princess Initiative, the Tzaddik would stand up and he would contrive the craziest plots and the most unbelievable things to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to sort of trick him and bring him into seeing the favor in Am Yisrael. Unbelievable. And this is what it means to be a leader. And this is what all of us have the obligation of embodying every single day. And through that he davens for Am Yisrael. How many of us in our tefillahs are davening for Jews, to daven for someone else? It's so powerful, it's so liberating. And guess what? It doesn't have to just be 3 times a day in tefillah. Every single day. I don't know if you guys, where you're living, what the situation is with masks and whatnot, but over here in Eretz Yisrael we have to wear masks, and it's difficult, it's annoying, it's boiling hot here, it's hard. But at the same time, it's such an opportunity to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're walking down the street and no one knows that your mouth is moving. It's awesome. I think I'm going to wear a mask all the time. It's so great to be able to just start to speak and no one thinks you're crazy. And what should we be saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course we're davening for all the things we need. Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to get close to you. I want to grow. I have so many goals and I have so many difficulties. And I want to have this breakthrough and that breakthrough. And Hanami. We have that right. We have that relationship. That's what we're supposed to do. But at the same time, let's make at least 10% of our tefillah about someone else, about Jews that we'll never know, right? About the wickedest, the most lowly Jews in the world. We're so busy fighting with people. We're so busy arguing on social media. What's right? What's wrong? These people are crazy. These people are off. And I'm the only correct one. And everybody else is, you know, either too much to the right or too much to the left. And everybody's saying that across the spectrum, right? Everybody's exactly in the middle, exactly perfect. But how many times do we daven for the people we perceive to be wrong? Not in a self-righteous, negative way, but literally, with all of our heart, to be able to say, Rabbanu Shalom, please let them recognize their error because they're essentially good, they're holy, they want to do good, they want to be good, they're just misguided. Rabbanu Shalom, please give them light, give them insight, give them the ability to become corrected and to realize the error of their way so that they too can live in complete connection with you. 10% of the tefillah. That's all the tzaddikim are asking. But that's what it means to be able to daven for Am Yisrael, Levakish Ulispalo, Kol Tzarcheim, that all their needs should be met. B'zeshakasa, the Gemara, this is what the Gemara says. Avdos Aninosancha. There's a famous sugya that talks about a conversation between two Amoraim, I believe. One Amor was trying to go ahead and to sort of, get him to recruit him. He was trying to recruit him for leadership, and these, I think it was two Amoraim, were trying to run away from it. And he said, No, we don't want leadership, we don't want it. And he said, I don't understand. You think like I'm trying to give you a good thing? Like, you know, it's some big tzidkus to run away from what I'm trying to offer you? I'm trying to give you servitude. This is not a positive thing. You know, you don't need to run away from it. Oh, no. Who am I that I should be a leader? No. You should be a leader, right? Because it's service. It's hard work. It's difficult. It requires taking responsibility. Before you were focused on yourself, but when a Jew stands up to become a leader and nobody needs to hire you, you understand? Nobody needs to go ahead and to pat you on the back and to pin some sort of special pin on your lapel to tell you, okay, you were elevated to this position. I'm telling you right now that each and every one of us on this call, no matter who we are, and no matter what we're dealing with, and no matter what stage of life we are, was just the Lubavitcher Rebbe's yard site today, and he used to tell people, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. Some people think, when I finish this Masechta, and when I learn this thing, and when I feel like I really know, you know, all of us on the call know Aleph on some level. If you know Aleph, teach Aleph. That was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They quoted in the name of Nach Weinberg also and others. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe really embodied this, and he empowered everyone to become leaders. Each and every one of us has this obligation to go ahead and to assume this leadership role. I bless us all that when we get off this call, we're not finished quite yet. So when we finish this call and we dive in the next tefillah, before you take three steps back, it could even be before this also, but before you take three steps back, I bless us all, not even like I ask us to, but I bless us all that we should be able to take stock of that opportunity to assume the leadership role and to begin to realize, yesh li chov, I have an obligation. It's servitude. I have this responsibility to stand up and to pray for the longevity and to pray for the vibrancy and vitality and the strength of the Jewish nation. Because Kiyan Atta, maybe before this call, or maybe before the person learns the Tiferet Shlomo, Mashkiach Rak Ala Atzmei, you know that I'm always looking at myself and thinking of myself alone. But Lo Kiyan Atta Tzarech Atta Lashkiach Ala Klal. But when you come to this realization that I'm powerful, I have so much to do, I could smile at someone and change his whole life today. It's so easy to reach out to someone on WhatsApp and just out of the blue, that you don't need an excuse, and to reach out to someone and tell them, you know, I really think you're so great. I really think you're great. We feel so inhibited. Who am I to tell someone else? Trust me. Every single person thinks that way about someone else, and we're all waiting for it. We're all waiting for a message. For someone, how would we feel? Think about it. All of a sudden, a message comes up on our phone telling us, you know something? I really think you're so special. I really think you have so much to offer. It would make our whole day. We're going to think it's weird. What's that? This guy's a creep reaching out to me? Are you kidding? No. We know it's heartfelt. It could lift us up. So, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So maybe we have to go ahead and to go through our contacts and scroll through it. Pick 10 people, maybe 10 people a day. Pick 10 people and reach out to them genuinely to think, to take the time, not a mass message, to think about this person and think, what can I say that's going to lift him up? This is our obligation. It's not optional. This is our obligation as leaders of today. Stand up, take responsibility. Hazman katzar v'amalacha meruba. There's so much to do, and the time is very short. So let's take stock of it. Let's do something great, chevra. Mamash, all of us can do something great. That's the Tiferet Shlomo. And I think that the message here, aside from the message that we just discussed for the last 10 minutes, is highlighting Moshe Rabbeinu's anivus. All of us knew that Moshe was an anav, but an anav to this level, batal to this level, such a tzaddik, to be battled to the point that someone comes to challenge his essence and the first thing he thinks, how can I protect this person from what he's trying to do to me? Amazing thing. Let's see the Me'ah Shiloach, based on this Hakdama, that tells us a little bit more about Moshe's unbelievable anivos. Now listen to this. It's the most counterintuitive, paradoxical, wild thing to think about. B'chevra, it's a mashu acheret. It's something special. Umadua tesnasal kala Shem Korach asks, a challenge. Who gave you the right to stand up and to take this position of power? Kasa the Pasuk says in Yishayga ba'asim dvare b'ficho v'tzel yadi kisisicha. I put my words in your mouth, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'tzel yadi kisisicha, and I covered you over with my hands. I guarded you. Ha'inin bazeh, says the Me'ah Shiloach, the meaning of this is, Kibichol nefesh miyisrael. Listen to these words. This is so powerful. Chevra, this is so powerful. I want you to know that a while ago I sent out a clip of me reading. I think I was speaking out and I was translating one line from a Torah in Likutei Moran. A similar line to this one, actually, in a certain way. One line out of a whole Torah, which is one of 411 different lessons, which is one sefer of all the thousands of Sifri Chassidus and Sifri Pnimius that are just as powerful, that have all of this information, a whole different way of approaching Avodas Hashem, of thinking about ourselves, empowerment, and really getting connected to Avodas Hashem, to Hashem, to Shabbos, to Eretz Yisrael, to other Jews, to Yiddishkeit with all of its different aspects, not just one or two, right? But the whole Yiddishkeit as a whole. And I recorded it on this video. I made it a clip. Some of you probably saw it, and I sent it out. And I get a message from this Yid, stranger. And he reaches out to me, and he tells me that every single day since he got this clip, he's listening to this message. And it's not me. This is Rabbi Nachman. This is one line from Likutei Moran that he said, apparently he didn't have access, or he never learned this particular lesson, or maybe anything from Rabbi Nachman before. But literally every single day he's listening to this, and this is one line from one tzaddik. So imagine the explosive opportunity, you know, and the potential for all of these Torahs that we're learning. Literally, I want you to know, and I say it all the time, these are not nice divrei Torah that you say over by your Shabbos meal. This is not some nice pshat that you saw that you tell over to somebody at a simcha. This is a different consciousness, chaver. It's a different way of looking at life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down to these tzaddikim. Hiktim refuah lemaka, gave them the refuah. He gave them the medicine, so to speak, the healing, before the malady of our generation set in to give us the ability to hold on to something so powerful, a light that comes from beyond, like I mentioned before, that our generation is so special, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is charging us with holding on to these Torahs, spreading them, that's also so important, spread the word about the LPI, let people know what's going on, there's so much that's in the pipelines, I'm so excited to share it all with you, Be'ezer Hashem is just the very beginning, and this is only one way of connecting. There's so many channels. There's so many svarim that are translated into English. There's so many shiurim. And so what a schus, right? To see and understand the power of what it is that we're learning. So listen to these words. It's life-changing. Mamish life-changing. The Indian is as follows. Kibuchol nefesh miyisrael. Every single Jewish soul. Bechol. No exceptions. Every single Jewish soul. Nimsa nekuda toiv av yikara. Every single Jewish soul contains within it Nekuda Tova, which is a famous Breslov term from Resh Pei Beis, as I'm sure many of you are familiar with, contains a Nekuda Tova, a point of perfect, essential goodness. Asher Cholak La Hashem Yisbarach Befrat, that the master of the world, literally handmade, he didn't have an assembly line, putting the Nekuda Tova. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this perfect drop of essential, untouchable, unbreakable, and unshakable goodness and planted it within each and every one of our souls. Each of us has a unique Nekuda Tova, something special, something that nobody else has, some light that we have to bring to the world that nobody else can bring. And this goes back to what we were saying before. We have the responsibility of bringing this mikoach, from potential, el apol, to actuality. This is a responsibility that we have. But he said, but in this world, an amazing thing, a counterintuitive thing. Hanakuda hazois. Everybody wants to know, what's my special thing? What am I good at? What can I look in the mirror, see myself in the eyes and say, ooh, wow, I know what it is that I was sent to the world to do. Many of us don't know. Many of us are struggling. And the years pass by and we keep on assessing and making reassessments and we're worried to think about it because it's going to get us down. What did I really do in this world? What did I accomplish? What am I involved in that's really helping society? Am I just dead weight, schlepping along? But what am I doing, mamish? So how do we know what it is that we were sent to do? Everyone wants to know. What's my tafkid? What's my purpose? Everyone wants to know this. It's a famous question that everybody's always asking. Tzaddikim, please let me know what I'm here for. And by the way, what a schus to even know that we're here for something at all. You know that the overwhelming majority of global society doesn't even think that they're here for a purpose, bechlal? Don't even believe that there's anything that we're supposed to be doing, that this is a mission, that we were sent here for something. Stop. To utilize time for waste, entertainment, gratification. But to be able to ask this question, what am I here for, says the Me'ah Shiloach, I'll tell you exactly the indicator how to find out, and it's not what we think. Ach ba'olam hazeh, in this world, hanakuda hazois, this special drop that we have, this special potential for holiness, he belevush, is enclosed in a garment, shenira lehepich, that appears to be the exact opposite of what that holy thing is. If a person has the ability to go ahead and to be so perfect and so pure, which all of us do, in the Indian of Shmiras HaBris, for example, or Tikkun Einayim, all of these in Yanam that people are dealing with, Lashon Hara, for example, a person has a taiva to eat things that he shouldn't be eating, a person has a taiva to miss minyan, whatever each person's most difficult challenge is, that is the Nekuda Tova that person can excel in. And in this world, it takes the levush, it takes the form of the exact opposite thing. And this goes for midos. Some people, they self-define themselves, or unfortunately, they have the misfortune of having been defined by some authoritative figure growing up. Some Rebbe somewhere said something that this is an angry kid. We label people. This is a stupid kid. This kid can't figure out how to read a piece of Gemara. This kid, whatever, each and every person. Says the Me'ah Shiloach, you know something? That thing that you were defined as being your most negative point is your most positive point in disguise. Because the Yitzhahara knows that if he were to go ahead and to treat this area of your life like every other area of your life, so then you might go ahead and bring Mashiach. You might stand up and do something so remarkable that it would change everything. It would undo the whole matrix. It would undo the whole shtick, right? The whole game. And so the Yetzer Hara makes it all the more difficult. And these areas that are the most difficult, says the Miyashilach, we have the capacity to be the best. You think you're an angry person? You're the calmest person. You're the most calm person. You have the potential to be chilled out, to be relaxed, not to be stressed out, not to be anxious, to deal with every difficulty with patience. You're not an angry person. You think you're an angry person because your Nekuda Tova of calmness is expressing itself in the exact opposite garment as it actually is. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I put in you, I put in you something so holy, but I want you to know that I covered over that thing. Don't think that it's going to be gully v'yadua. You pop out of the womb and you have your upsharon and you have your bar mitzvah and it's clear to everybody that this is what this soul was brought to the world to do. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, no, it's not that easy. I covered it over. I put it in a garment. And the garment is not some random thing. The garment is not that instead of being a calm person, so then I really like to overeat and I'm a big ravtan, I'm very gluttonous. That's not what it is. If you're a calm person, you're going to be an angry person. And that's the way that it's going to express itself until we focus specifically on this issue, stand up, realize our potential for perfection in this area, and lift everything up. He says nobody's free from this. It's not like this is just for the lowly Jews. No. The biggest tzaddikim, yes, our leaders had challenges and our leaders struggled. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was the first one to stand up and tell you that he fell a lot. He had to start again 1,000 times a day, whatever that means. Rabbi Nachman struggled. The tzaddikim struggled. They went through what we went through. They were human beings. Rabbi Nachman wanted to knock it into us. They weren't born with some glorious souls that was smooth sailing. They worked and they fought and it was hard and it was difficult, but they believed in themselves. They believed that there was some purpose in fighting in the first place. Ukemaykin Moshe Rabbeinu says the Heilige Miyashilach, an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one figure that we would think didn't have these problems. Moshe Rabbeinu, like we described before, is a malach of the Kim Tzfakos. Moshe Rabbeinu is batel, is nullified to the Ein Sof. Moshe Rabbeinu had a challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu had something that appeared in the outside to be difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, had an Nekudat Tova that expressed itself in a negative way, that people perceived him negatively. How could that be? Says the Holy Mashiach, after Moshe Rabbeinu was expressed and was revealed in the Pasuk as being like we described in the first piece, an anav mi'oy, not just a humble person, but the utmost of humility, the absolutely most humble person that there was, says the Mashiach, v'haya ala levusha hepech. To other people on the outside, and maybe even at moments in his own consciousness. This we don't know, that might be going too far. But at least for other people on the outside, they perceived Moshe's absolute humility as arrogance. They perceived his absolute avdos, his fire to go ahead and to bring the whole world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They looked at him and they said, like, guy, calm down, you understand? They looked at him on the outside and they said, you're going a little bit too far with all of this Yiddishkeit stuff. You're going too far with being a leader and wanting to bring us into the Holy Land. It appeared to them, because he was divinely appointed to that role only because of his humility, it appeared to them like arrogance. And that's why they gave a taina, that's why they claimed against him. This is what Korach says. Who gave you the right to become a Balgaiva? Balgaiva? Moshe Rabbeinu is the Balgaiva. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person in the whole world, to the point that we saw in the previous piece that his humility was such that he wanted to go ahead and to leave the world so as to protect Korach from Korach's rightful punishment for challenging his own honor. This was how much of a humble person Moshe was. And Korach stands up because on the Levush it may appear to be negative. It may appear to be arrogance. We find the same thing by David. David HaMelech is the most benevolent. David HaMelech is the most loving, is the most kind, is the most emotional, is the most perceptive, is the most sensitive, is the most caring leader that we could possibly have. David HaMelech, who opened up the capacity and the ability to do tshuva. David HaMelech, who struggled, who taught each and every Jew until the end of time, don't give up, don't give up. Keep on coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening, Harav Kap Seinemi Avoyni, even when you're far away, scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzah Malach HaNafshi, Kam Malach HaBasar Ba'erziyah Ba'oyeh B'limayim V'chulei. David HaMelech. David HaMelech. As it's brought down in the Medrash, he loved Jews, David HaMelech. He loved Am Yisrael. He was so emotionally sensitive in that way and intelligent. That the Medrash tells us on the Pasuk Yivakish Ratzon that David Shu Oyves Yisrael, the Medrash tells us. David HaMelech loved Jews. It's about Mikarev Achicha, because Chazal say that David HaMelech was always Mikarev Achicha, was always hanging out with the boys, he was always with the friends, he was always with Am Yisrael, because he felt that he was one of them, he understood their pain, he loved them absolutely. David HaMelech. That he was somebody, like we said, who loved all of Am Yisrael, but Baal Halavush, but again, the garment that he was dealing with, Nira Lehepech, it appeared the opposite. Kidi Isa, like the Gemara, like the Medrash says, when Shmuel saw that David HaMelech had a red complexion, like the Pasuk says, that he was at Admoini, Amri says, Shemachas Hashem Ushayfich Dam, and he thought that he was a murderer. David HaMelech is a murderer. David HaMelech is the most loving, the most kind, the most caring individual. David HaMelech is the murderer. That he was a murderer like Esav, about whom also it says that he was at Anmoini Kulikadera Seyar. And Hashem Izbar, Reishele Hashem Izbar, God himself answers. Look at the next couple of words in the Pasuk. He's an Admoni, he's read in Yifei Inayim, with beautiful eyes. Says the Miyashilah, he's hinting to it, that it's not despite he's an Admoni that he has Yifei Inayim. Anybody who's an Admoni means that he has Yifei Inayim. Any person that's struggling in any area of life, any person who has a challenge that he finds it hard to overcome, I'm an Admoni, Rebbeinu Shalom. Sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror, in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we see ourselves Kul Kades Seir. We think we're Esav, we think we're Admoni, but the truth is in Yifei Inayim. You're only Admoni because you have beautiful eyes. You have such beautiful eyes. You have such an Nekuda Tova. That's not something else. That's specifically the flip side of what you think is your worst point. And this is what the Tzikas of Tzadikim, and this will finish. What the holy student of the Me'ashi Loach, the Reb Tzadik HaKayim Lublin says, and it seems to be a clear extension of this idea. Kol Echad Yodea. He says, every single Jew must know that the area of Avodas Hashem in which the Yetzer Hara is particularly hard. And in our generation, it's no secret that this is the Indian of Shmiras Inayim, that this is the Indian of immorality, that this is the Indian of promiscuity, that this is the Indian in all areas, not just of Bris HaMa'or, but Bris HaLashon, speaking, you know, mindlessly, purposelessly. Waste, wasting our time, wasting our words, wasting what we spend our time doing, all of these, this aspect of waste, which is our generation. A person needs to know who kli mucham la'oise dvarim b'yoyser, li'yoyis nikim v'zakim etzlo. He must know that these very things, these very areas in which the Yetzer Hara is particularly strong, don't give up. Adarava, not only don't give up, be all the stronger, be all the more confident that in these very areas you can be Yoser, Lias Nikim, Vizakim, Etzlo, more pure than anyone else that's not struggling with this struggle. It's an amazing thing, it's revolutionary. However, it changes the whole thing, it flips the whole vision on its head, it's an illusion. You think you're out on Moidni, you're Kulikad, you're Yifei Nayan. Ubidvarim Shahar Balib Shoyabahem. Says Rav Tzadik, areas in our lives where historically we sin very greatly in those areas, innumerable times, in innumerable measure. Yada, a person needs to know in the given moment, shehu kli muchan, he is a ready vessel. Not after going to the mikvah 1,000 times, not after fasting like we mentioned before, and rolling in the snow, and gilgul sheleg, and all of these things, not after that. At any given moment, adarabah, at the worst moment, at the time when the levush is strongest, at that moment, we need to hold on to this lesson and to remember, Shuhu Kli Muchan. Not Sheyiyah Kli Muchan. Not that one time in the future, okay, maybe it's possible that you'll be a ready Kli. Shehu Kli Muchan. As you are, you're a ready vessel at any given moment in time, Liyaz Dafka Ba'osadavar, Naki Ubar Levav, to be pure in that area, to be able to stand up with confidence, with strength, to say, I'm not falling for this, I'm stronger than this, I understand the Yetzirah, what you're attempting to do to me, but I learned the Me'ashiloah, and I learned from Tzadik, and the Tzadikim gave me the knowledge and the confidence to stand up, to do something special, and I'm not giving in. Not only aren't I giving in, it's a joke for me to even think about giving in, because your very challenge in this area is an indicator to me that I'm so much more powerful than you, that you're so weak and you're so desperate. It's a joke. Yitzhar, you're a joke. You're simply a joke to be able to have the strength and the courage in that moment. Now, many of us might have these ideas on our mind and we historically have not been able to put them to use. At the moment that a person is caught up in the Yetzirah, the Gemara tells us there's a ruach shtus. There's a spirit of folly that enters him, where all of a sudden even the most powerful ideas, when we're not stuck in that nisayon, they seem very beautiful and they're so powerful and inspiring, but tachlis, when we come down to it, we're unable to. Rabbi Nachman describes this in Shir Na'im and Hakdama, in the beautiful poem at the beginning of Likutei Moran, which is so kedai to see. There's actually a book on it, a very short little pamphlet written by, I think, Rabbi Avram Greenbaum, but I'm not sure, but I know it's published by Betzalel Na'or's publishing company, Orot. You can order it online. Very highly recommended. It's a beautiful book. Short little piece. It's called Song of Delight. And in there, Rabbi Nachman says, don't be a fool. What does it mean to be a fool? Like the elephant that gets led along by a little mouse. That a little mouse is running in front of an elephant, and an elephant is trying to go ahead and to make sure he doesn't step on the mouse and trying to run away. Elephant, you understand how big you are? The mouse is a fraction of your size. You can step in it and crush it. It's a little flea. Flick it off. You squash it with a fly swatter. It's nothing. Says Rabbi Nachman, the Ruach Shtus makes us think that we're weak. And so we need to remind ourselves in the moment, dafka, to make a reminder. If this means to write something down on our phone, if this means to, I don't know exactly, tie a string around your hand. Some people need reminders for certain things. Write it down on a piece of paper that you could pull out in your wallet, whatever it is. But in the moment, to remind ourselves, I am powerful. I am stronger than this. I am better than this. I'm bigger than this. God believes in me more than this. That this area can be the very area that I can be stronger than everybody else in the whole generation. This is my special ability to be pure, to be holy, to stand up and to do something special with my life. Special. All we have is the given moment. And this is what the Medrash says, she'be'ever she'be'chata, that in the particular limb that a person uses for chata'im, to do sins, yasa mitzvahs, a person should always go ahead and to do many, many, many mitzvahs with that sin. Well, I'm sorry, not with that sin, with that hand, with that leg, with any part of a person's body that a person is utilizing in a sinful way, a person should do mitzvahs with that aver. The Einzer Rak Tikkun La'Avera says that Reb Tzadik, this is not simply Mida Keneged Mida, okay, you did something wrong with this limb, so now you need to do something right. Avalu Gam Tikkun Nafshe B'Frat. You understand the only reason why you did something wrong with this limb is because you have the capacity to do so many right things with this limb. So stand up, not that you're doing Mida Keneged Mida. Start doing the right thing. Start making a tikkun. Start actualizing the potential to use that limb for something holy. Every single Jew was created to fix a particular thing, to do something special. That his or her nefesh, that his or her soul was sent down to this world in a uniquely talented area to go ahead and to do something that no one else can. To the point that there's no partner, so to speak, in the whole entire Jewish nation that's the same in the ability to do something special. Like the Gemara in Bracha says, like we don't see that two people have the same face. All of us, I'm looking at your faces, your holy, shining, sweet, beautiful faces. And each and every one of your faces is different. That means that whatever's on the panim, whatever's on the face reflects the pnim. That means that you're different. You're not just another cookie cutter Jew sitting in a base medrash with 1,000 people. You're so unique. You have special talents and abilities to do something mamish remarkable, to bring Mashiach, each and every one of us. Parts of Panamremes, I'll tell him in the Kim the Nefesh. That's what Tzaddik says. The external visage of a person's face is only a reflection of that inner uniqueness. They used to ask all the Amiram, what was your father especially holy in? What was his avoida? What was his special thing that he was in this world for? Amar, and the Gemara in Gittin says, Ein adam oymel divrei Torah elam kein nichshol. An incredible Gemara that a person will only have success in Avodas Hashem after falling, after failing. How does that work? That's counterintuitive. And here, and there's a lot of explanations for that. But Rav Tzadik says, and with this we'll finish, something based on the Me'ah Shiloach, an idea that we're saying that's so deep, that the only way to have success, the only way to be omid in the divrei Torah that's unique to our soul, to do something that only we can do, is by having a challenge. is by failing in an area, because that's the indicator that I need to go ahead and to work on this area. That's the only way that you'll be able to bring your potential mikoach lapol, is if you fall, and if you find something difficult, and if you struggle with something, then after you were nichshaba, so then you realize, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending me a siman, an indicator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to work on this thing. This is why I was sent to the world, and I not only can handle it and manage it, and it should be like everyone else, I can be the best in the world in this area. Shal yedei hamachshela, after falling, who made into the kaf notzer, that this is why he was created to work on this thing, l'sakin oso davar. So chaver, we should be zocha. First of all, thank you so much for learning with me. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. I really am just sending love to each and every one of you from the hills of Yerushalayim. I so much appreciate you taking the time to learn with me. I know that I don't deserve it, and it's just a total privilege for me. So thank you so much. And we should be zochah to all of this, from the beginning, from the first piece, all the way through, to be able to stand up and take responsibility for others, to daven for others, to think all the time, how can I go ahead and to make an impact? If you know Aleph, teach Aleph. You always are more knowledgeable, certainly everyone on this call, than someone else, to be able to provide that chizuk and these ideas, even if it's this, to go ahead and to share these ideas, to share this year. Even something so simple as forwarding something on social media to someone you know needs a pick-me-up. It matters. It really matters, and we're charged with that obligation. That's the first thing. And then to remember that in the point that we think we're the worst, it's an indicator that we have the potential in that moment, not sometime in the future, to be the absolute and ultimate best. And these are very powerful ideas. Again, it's not just a Dvar Torah. It's not just something that you learn and you forget and you walk out and it was sweet while you're learning it. No. This is something to bake into our souls. I always say, if we could tattoo this, you know, make a tattoo. These are Torahs to tattoo on your hands. You know, we should be covered in Torahs like this. We need to remember them all the time, to walk with them, to go ahead and to remind ourselves that the challenge and the difficulty and the failure and the sin is only an indicator that we can do something so remarkable. I bless us to be able to bring our abilities, mikoach ala poal. I think we're right. To be able to bring our abilities, mikoach ala poal, and to do something so amazing with it. Thank you so much for listening. And I beg you also to go ahead and to really spread the word about the Lost Princess Initiative, because again, you'll see in a video that I'm sending out this coming week where I talk a little bit more about what we're trying to do and what we're going to be doing. But trust me, it's just the beginning. And so really, we're trying to bring people together. We're trying to go ahead and to create a coalition, really, of the chevra that are like-minded, that are connected to this kind of Torah, that realize that this is what our generation is yearning for, that these are messages that everyone needs to hear. We're trying to bring it to Am Yisrael, to bring people together, to give us a platform, to give chevra like us a voice, to be able to stand up and scream to Am Yisrael, we're here and we have something to say, and we're very proud of it, and we're very batuach that this is going to bring Mashiach. So, Meretz Hashem, I can only do it with all of your help. And Ezra Hashem, we should be zocha to that. So thank you so much, and wishing you the most wonderful, beautiful Shabbos. L'chaim chevra, thank you so much for joining me. All the best. Rabbi Gary, thanks so much. Ian, thanks for tuning in. Maish, always a pleasure. Ami, Jesse, Chaim, L'chaim, all the holy brothers. It's so beautiful to see you. To all the chevra, thank you so much for joining. Sending you all my love.